A very good morning to you all, dear brethren around the world. Greetings of peace and joy in the name of our Almighty God and our returned and reigning King, Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you love and greetings of many brethren from India. I thank our Lord for giving me the opportunity to serve his flock and also the convention committee for giving me an opportunity to serve the brethren. Today, we're going to see a parable of the Good Samaritan. We would have heard this story since our childhood when we have visited the churches or attended the Sunday class. But today we are going to see what's the proper meaning of this parable. This study is partially based on the writings of our beloved brother Charles Taze Russell, reprints number 2684. I would like to present this as a suggestion before all the saints to ponder upon because there are different views of different brethren on this parable. The parable is recorded for us in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. And it goes by saying, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, took care of him, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two penance and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Dear brethren, this is a parable. But before going to the parable, we will try to understand why Jesus spoke this parable. Whenever Jesus spoke a parable, he spoke with a purpose. Similarly, there is a purpose in this parable. What is the purpose? If you read Luke chapter 10, verse 25, we come to know what happened there. We know very well that usually there was friction between our Lord and the people who opposed him, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers and the high priest. Similarly, here also, a lawyer was opposing Christ, was intending to catch hold of Christ in his words. And that is the time that a lawyer came before the master and asked him a question, which is given in Luke 10:55. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer asked this question before everybody, with the motive not to understand the real truth from God's words. Hence, the verse clearly says that he stood and tempted Jesus to catch hold of Jesus in his words, to see if he's going to speak something amiss, and to immediately catch hold of him. But Jesus knew very well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just by seeing a man, he could completely read his thoughts and their intention. And we all know the lawyers, these were the ones who were expert in the law, who were very thoroughly equipped with each and every intricate details of the law. Today also, we have lawyers in the court who present the case before the judge. These are the people who study the law. Similarly, during the days of Jesus, also there were lawyers who were expert in the law that was given by Moses. They knew in and out of the law. Here, a lawyer who was supposed to know everything from the law questioned something which is already mentioned in the law and which he knew very well. These lawyers, Pharisees and Sadducees, were the one people who were outwardly, who just pretended to be good before everybody. Hence, Jesus told about them in Matthew 23:24, saying, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. One such person, a lawyer, a hypocrite, came and questioned our Lord what to do to inherit eternal life, which he should be knowing, being an expert in the law. Now, Jesus knew his thoughts, why he was asking the question, and replied, as in verse 26, what is written in the law? How read is though? Jesus, instead of answering, put a question back, saying, what is written in the law? You, being a lawyer, should know everything. Instead of asking me a question, and Jesus questioned him before all, the lawyer felt embarrassed and he had no way to escape. He had to answer, or else the people would think that a lawyer doesn't even know the basic things of the law. Hence, he replied, saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 27. Jesus took the opportunity and replied him, saying, "You have said correctly. Please do the same." Verse 26, 28. "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Jesus brought out the answer from his own mouth, and the lawyer was completely ashamed before all. He did not want to just walk away like that, but wanted to show that he was a wise person. Hence, he put one more question to Jesus, saying, "Who then is my neighbor?" He thought that Jesus would say only the Jews were his neighbor. But instead of that, Jesus wanted to teach him, saying, "Everybody are neighbors," and then told this parable. What is the parable about? Dear brethren, we will study. We know very well, when Jesus came at the first advent in Israel, there were two types of people who were living: the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, the priest, the Levites, and the high priest. These were all the upper class of the society, and they considered all the other class of people as lower class and dealt very cheaply with them, considered them as sinners, never used to have fellowship with them. These behaved as holy and righteous, and considered only such people and wealthy people as their neighbors, ignoring the tax collectors, the publicans, the prostitutes. They never considered the poor people as their neighbors. They considered them as unclean, not fit for the society. Jesus took this opportunity to teach that all the people, every man is every man's neighbor. Hence, dear brethren, he spoke this parable. Verse 30. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving half dead. The thieves robbed him but did not kill him, but left him half dead, a half murderer." Now verse 31. "And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Priest is the one who works in the tabernacle, who offered sacrifices to God to make atonement between God and man. But here, when he saw this man lying dead on the way, he never came near him, but he passed by on the other way, thinking he would become unclean if he comes in contact with a dead body. Instead of seeing whether he is really alive or not, he didn't even have the basic sympathy and compassion which should be in a priest, and just passed away. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it tells the priests are ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may both offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with the infirmities. Next, what happened? We read in verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. We know about a Levi. It is from this tribe that the priests were selected, whose duty was to sympathize with the sinners and help them obey God's law. At least Levi should have shown sympathy, isn't it? They were God's chosen tribe. But he also did not bother to see what happened. So he just passed on. Next, what happened? Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had sympathy on him. He came near the wounded person. And what did he do? Verse 34, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. When no one bothered about him, a passerby, a Samaritan, not only had compassion, he came to the wounded person. He washed his wound, bound his wound, poured oil and wine, put him on his own beast, a donkey, and took him to an inn. Dear brethren, how many individuals can ride a donkey at one time? Only one person. So here, the Samaritan got down from the donkey and put his wounded person on the donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. Let us read verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two penance and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Mark these words, dear brethren. He paid only 2 pennies and said, when I come again, I will repay. Dear brethren, we all know very well that the relationship with Israel and the Samaritans were not good. The Jewish people never had any relationship with the Samaritan. We know very well the incident when Jesus was thirsty. He sat at the well of Jacob and desired to have a little bit of water from the well. Then a woman of Samaria was there, drawing water from the well. That is the time that Jesus asked her to give a little bit of water to drink. But instead, a Samaritan woman was surprised how a Jew is asking water from a Samaritan woman because they had no dealings with a Samaritan. See John chapter 4, verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. We all know the incident about the disciples going to the village of Samaria to get some food, but they were never welcomed because they had no relationship with the Jewish people, because they never treated them as their neighbor. They were maintaining distance. Luke 9 chapter 52 and 53. Therefore, this parable illustrates how a strange Samaritan helped a wounded Israelite after his own people failed to do so. Jesus, after telling this parable, questions the lawyer. Now tell me, what do you think? Who is his neighbor? The lawyer replies, saying in verse 36 and 37, which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go do thou likewise. The lawyer had no other option but to tell the truth, because if he had told something else, people would have caught hold of him. Now everybody clearly understood what is the meaning of this parable and who really was their neighbor and had to show mercy to all. Dear brethren, this is the parable. Now, what is the meaning of the parable? We read in Matthew 13 chapter, verse 34 and 35. It tells that these things Jesus spoke unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Which means that in this parable, God's entire plan is hidden. Jesus brought it to light. Hence, when the disciples questioned, our Lord replied them, saying, as in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, that it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which means that Jesus uncovered the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven hidden in these parables. Dear brethren, we have studied the subject about Daniel 2nd chapter and Daniel 7th chapter. You see, about the 5th universal empire. And Daniel says that it is the kingdom of God that is going to be established on this earth. And this kingdom has got two parts. One, the heavenly part, you see. And other, an earthly part. The earthly part will be the visible face of the kingdom, which will be composed of the ancient worthies and the general world. While the heavenly part is composed of 144,000 and the great multitude. It is this heavenly face of the kingdom that Jesus termed as kingdom of heaven. And there are some mystery about this kingdom of heaven class, which Jesus spoke in all his parables. Hence, in this parable, there must be some lesson. What is the meaning of this parable? Who is this man? Why did he travel specifically from Jerusalem to Jericho? Why thief is mentioned? Why he was wounded and the thieves stole everything? Instead, they could have killed him. Why Levi and the priest are given? Who is this Samaritan? Why a donkey is given? They could have used the camel instead. Why did he take to an inn? Why did he give only 2 coins and promise to pay extra at his return? What does all this mean? We know very well for the Bible. Bible is its own dictionary. If you need to understand the Bible, all the codes must be taken only from the Bible, not from Google. Let us try to decode one by one. First, it says he traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. What is the meaning of Jerusalem? Jerusalem is a city of peace. Once when David's kingdom was usurped by his own son, Absalom, David left Jerusalem because he never wanted bloodshed to happen in Jerusalem, as it was a place of peace. In Hebrews 7:2, it tells that first being by interpretation, the king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Jerusalem, therefore, dear brethren, is the foundation of peace. What does Jericho mean in the Bible? Jericho in the Bible is a cursed city, and people of Israel entered the promised land. Jericho city was destroyed and God told to never build it again. And whosoever builds this Jericho again, he shall lose his first one. This city was cursed. See Joshua 6:26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. The man traveled from a city of peace to a cursed city. Now who is this man? This man was our father, Adam. In him, the entire mankind who traveled on the foundation of peace, the peaceful condition of Eden, to the cursed and death-ridden condition on the Broadway. Devadran, but on the way, while he was traveling, what happened? The thieves attacked him, stole from him, took off all his clothes. Who are the thieves? These are the devil and the fallen angels who attacked mankind and ripped off their clothes. What is the cloth? It is righteousness of God. In Garden of Eden, Adam had no clothes. He was never guilty of sin because he was righteous before God. He had that cloth where he could approach God without any hypocrisy. This cloth of innocence was completely taken off, first by the thief, then his health was taken. Mankind lost all their health. Beautiful Eden condition was lost. God had blessed Adam with dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. The fellowship with God he had, everlasting life had God had given him, the right to have the access to life-giving fruits, the kingdom, the dominion, the blessings, the perfection, and the holiness. All these things were completely robbed from mankind. They did not kill him, but mankind was left half dead. God put a curse upon Adam. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat all the days of your life. He never died on the spot. He was left half dead. It took 930 years for Adam to walk down the Broadway and to reach its end, death. He did not die the same day. He was half dead. As mankind was walking on Broadway, first the priest came. Now, who is this priest? This is the first thing which God gave for mankind to come out of this sinful, cursed condition. It is the law. The law had so much of power that if anybody kept the law, they could have attained perfect life. They could have come back from a sinful condition back to the perfection, back to God. But what did the Lord do? The perfect law was a failure because nobody could keep it. Let us read Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Again, Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law could not help mankind to come out of the sinful and death-ridden conditions. The law was good by itself, but it did not help mankind. What happened after that? Dear brethren, a Levi came. Levi was the chosen tribe of all the tribes of Israel. But this represents the nation of Israel, who were chosen of all the tribes of this world. They were God's selected people. And through them, God had promised to bless the whole world. What did God tell to Abraham? In thy seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So Israel was a blessed nation. Through Israel, God had planned to bless the whole world of mankind. But what happened? This also did not work out. Let us read Romans 9, 4 and 5. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and glory and the covenant and the giving of the law? The service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. These were the chosen people, but as the scriptures tells, there is none righteous, not even one. The nation of Israel also could not help the world of mankind to come out from this wounded death condition, because they themselves वे कर्सड एंड ऑन द सेम पाथ. नेक्स्ट हु केम? दिस समारिटन. वी ऑल नो वेरी वेल हु इज दिस समारिटन. इट इज नन अदर देन आवर लॉर्ड जीसस क्राइस्ट. जीसस क्राइस्ट केम दैट वे. What did he do? He helped that man to come out of that condition. Is there any evidence in the Bible that Jesus, you see, is referred to as a Samaritan? Yes, dear brethren. Read John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and as a devil? Samaritans were separated people. They never had fellowship with the Jews. Therefore, we read in Isaiah 53:3, he was despised, rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not. Jesus was never welcomed by his own people, but was despised or rejected. Therefore, Jesus is this good Samaritan. So what did he do? He came and healed the wound, poured out oil, gave him wine, set him on his own vehicle, and took him to an inn. What does all this mean? First thing, dear brethren, he had sympathy, you see, on these wounded people. What does the Bible say? Jesus had compassion on the crowd. Moreover, Jesus came to this earth to die for mankind because he had sympathy on them. Proverbs 8, verse 30 and 31, it says Jesus was rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. And his delight was with the sons of men. His delight was with the sons of men. Jesus always wanted to be for mankind. Hence, seeing the poor suffering and the pathetic condition of mankind, he came voluntarily to die for them. Therefore, he had sympathy and came near. He left the heavenly abode and was ready to sacrifice his heavenly abode and came to this earth willing to die voluntarily. What did Jesus do? He gave them oil, which in the Bible means the Holy Spirit. He gave them the wine, which means doctrine. Therefore, in Isaiah 61:1, it tells, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus came for this purpose to help mankind to come back to God. The Samaritan took that man upon his own donkey. What do you mean by a donkey? The church is represented by a donkey. How? You all know very well that when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he rode upon a donkey. And when he came inside Jerusalem, people welcomed him by laying clothes on the way and by waving palm branches. The Bible says that no man sat on a donkey. It's a very strange thing that somebody could sit on it for the first time and without it making any trouble. It walked very softly without any disturbance. How is this possible? Usually they put the clothes upon the donkey to carry, but that day it was very special. When Jesus was welcomed, it was totally different. Instead of putting the
You
cloths upon
cannot
the
do
donkey, it
that,
was
Lord.
laid before it to walk upon. It was like a red carpet welcome. So it was totally surprised and was very submissive. It was very happy that everybody welcomed it instead of putting and loading clothes upon it and beating it. The donkey thought that the people were welcoming it. While no, the people were welcoming the one who was seated upon the donkey, the Lord Jesus Christ. Similarly, who is above us? Who is our head? Jesus. Jesus is our head. It is because Jesus is our head that we are welcomed by the brethren. Not because of us, dear brethren. We are all donkeys. We are all of no use. Hence, this is the church. And Jesus is above the church. And it is because of Jesus that the truth, that the donkey is honored, that we are honored and respected. Jesus took this man, upon his donkey and brought him to an inn where he was completely healed. Similarly, it is through the church that the whole world will get salvation in the near future. We read in Acts 15, chapter 14 to 17, Simeon had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of him a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. God is first selecting the group of people out, and that is the little flock. Once this little flock is completed, what will happen? God will build the tabernacle of David, that is Israel. Why? So that the entire mankind may come back to God. Hence, it is after the church is complete that the whole mankind will be restored back to perfection. Romans 8, chapter 19, verse, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. He brought the wounded person to an inn. Now, what is that inn? It is God's protection, love, and care. The entire mankind are under God's foreknowledge. God has made a beautiful plan, not only for us, but for the whole world. The Bible says that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Samaritan, when he left, what did he give to the innkeeper? 2 pennies to keep it with you. If I return, I will give you more. So, what are these 2 pennies which Jesus gave and went at the first advent? The 2 pennies are the 2 silver coins, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that the silver in the Bible means God's words. Psalms 12, chapter verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Therefore, the Old Testament and New Testament were given for mankind so they may be healed. What does the Bible say? Psalms, first chapter, first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditate day and night. Again, we read in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6 to 9, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest up by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontals between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The eternal life is in the scriptures. Jesus said that in John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Samaritan said, if I come again, I will surely pay you more. What does the Bible say, that Jesus will come again the second time? Yes, that he has already returned in 1874, giving more truths. Read Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus, at his second advent, is giving more strong meat in due season. Dear brethren, do you all remember what happened when Jesus was resurrected, appeared to the disciples? They were all fishing in the sea. Jesus called them to the shore. And by the time the disciples came, already food was ready. Brethren, mark it. Already the food was ready. This is the second advent of Jesus. First advent, the disciples were fishing. Second time, second advent, the disciples are again fishing. The harvest work is going on. Jesus calls them to the seashore. The first time, he did not give food. But second time, no need to worry. He himself is preparing delicious and strong meat at the shore, where the fishes have been separated, the good from the bad. The only thing is that we need to come and eat. That is what is mentioned in Luke 12, chapter 35 to 37. Let your lamps be girded about, your lights burning, and you yourself likened to men that wait for the Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. All strong food that we are now eating is not ours. Dear brethren, it is our Lord's, who has returned at his second advent and is giving the strong meat in due season since 1874. Hence, the Bible is a beautiful treasure. Jesus himself tells that new and old things will come out of this treasure. Matthew 13:52. And again, Apostle Paul tells in Hebrews 5:14, the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As Christians, we need to grow daily, day by day, not just remain stagnant, dear brethren. Increase in knowledge, help us to increase in faith, and helps us to grow in Christ likeness. Jesus is now revealing hidden secrets about the kingdom of heaven class, that we may grow strong in the Lord. Therefore, who is my neighbor? If you see, everyone is everyone's neighbor. Dear brethren, may the Lord add his blessings to the understanding of his holy words. I once again thank my Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity, and the Convention Committee for giving me this opportunity to serve his flock. I also thank the translator brethren for translating the Lord's words in various languages. If anyone has any questions, you can WhatsApp me on the number or mail to me. God bless all till we meet again. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Raju.